take it on, but I'm not taking it on alone. Heather Sharone from The Daily Line. She's the managing editor there. The Daily Line covers all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield. And they have a great newsletter that you get in your inbox every single morning. Heather, good morning. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Saucy, apparently.
I really am. It's those electric scooters. All right, let's start with the state of the state. Today, the big ticket item, we thought it would be, you know, about tax and budgets, but it really was about ethics reform and corruption. Is that the right tone in Springfield right now? I mean, is everyone buying what the governor is talking about?
Well, I don't think the governor had much choice, because let's not forget that it was barely 24 hours before that former Senator Martin Sandoval pleaded guilty, right, to basically running interference for a company that we believe to be SafeSpeed that put up red light cameras all over the suburbs. So this is top of mind for a lot of legislators who, let's not forget, have to face the voters in about 6 weeks.
I right before we started the segment, right before the break, today is the 11th anniversary of when the state Senate, removed Governor Blagojevich from office. Say January 29th, whatever that was, 2009. It's amazing to think that 11 years later, the governor, a governor who was also on those tapes, a governor is talking about rooting out corruption in Springfield. I thought that was the idea, right? That's a decade ago. That we said, this is it, the end of corruption in Springfield, and yet it is still there. And is, why? Why does it continue?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons, and I think the governor hit on at least one in his speech today, where he called for lobbying reform. Right now, there is very little requirement for lobbyists to register with the state and sort of disclose what they're doing and who's paying them and, you know, what's going on. So it makes it really hard for reporters like us to track what's happening. He also called for legislation, and I will tease tomorrow's Daily Line, where we'll have more details about this, about basically requiring legislators, if they leave their posts, to wait a certain amount of time before they become lobbyists. Mm. So that is what's sort of known in the political world as a cooling off period, which Illinois doesn't have, although a lot of other states do. And that is seen as a little bit of low hanging fruit that everybody can pretty much get behind, yeah, and say, hey, look, we've done something. But you're not wrong. Corruption in Illinois and Chicago is certainly deeply entrenched. And the question this week really is, who's next? You know, who else was on tape with Martin Sandoval? Who else was on tape with former Alderman Danny Solis? What else is out there? You know, this was one shoe that dropped this week with Sandoval, you know, pleading guilty and saying he's going to help the feds and whatever else they're doing, which, of course, we're not entirely sure about.
Right.
But what else? What's next? And that's what will keep me up tonight and tomorrow night and the night after that.
When you talk to different lawmakers and people in Springfield, but also in Chicago, is that a big worry? Is it a worry about what Sandoval has and, frankly, what he's cooperating with the feds with?
Absolutely. Nobody knows. And nobody knows what else they're going to find, because once you have feds, you know, listening in on phone conversations and poking around, there's no telling where they're going to find, because, you know, let's go back to Blagojevich. You know, the federal investigators were listening in on the governor's phone calls and heard what they described as a scheme to sell a United States Senate seat, right? The former seat held by former President Barack Obama. And that's what triggered Blagojevich's arrest and the ultimate removal from office. But they, you know, they didn't think they were looking for that. So you never know what's underneath that rock once you pick it up.
The one thing about this, and you know, I do truly agree, and as you said it perfectly, it's low hanging fruit. I've been on my soapbox here on this program about lobbying reform, just because it's so weird to say you could be a Cook County commissioner and lobby the state or vice versa. That's so crazy. Okay, so fine, but that has nothing to do with the corruption that's at hand. That has nothing to do with Sandoval taking a bribe. That has nothing to do with Arroyo bribing another lawmaker.
Allegedly.
But, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that right now it just seems more, I don't know if it's because the feds have been supercharged because of the U.S. Attorney's Office, whatever it might be. It seems these are pretty straight up, I'm trying to find a way to screw over taxpayers. And I don't understand that. I would feel like that would be where you'd want to go with the angle, as opposed to talking about something that is also corrupt but has nothing to do with this.
Right. The question is, what is it going to take to sort of root out, like you said, that deeply entrenched corruption, where lawmakers see not only an opportunity, but feel unrestrained in asking for, you know, bribes. And if you listen to what, you know, in the plea agreement that Martin Sandoval said, you know, he was upfront about it. He said, you know, hey, do you have a baloney company that you can use to make these contributions to me?
Right, so like he knew how to do it, right.
Right. He knew how the game was played. So somebody taught him, and I assume that he taught other people. And the question is, when does that no longer become acceptable? Because let's not forget, Martin Sandoval was a major power player in Hispanic Democratic politics going back decades. So, you know, he learned from somebody, and you have to ask, you know, who has learned by him, and what is it going to take to say the costs of that behavior are just too high?
Hmm. It's all going to go back to Blagojevich. That's what we're going to find. No, I kid. All right, so what were the other takeaways from today? Obviously, corruption was front and center, but there's talk of early education and also the graduated tax plan, which really is going to be a big contentious part of the budget talks coming up here.
Right. So the question is, will it pass in November 2020? You know, I know it's super important that everybody's going to pick a new president or perhaps the same president in November, but Illinois will decide whether to change the Constitution to allow a graduated income tax or a flat income tax. So that money wouldn't kick in until the second half of the fiscal year. So lawmakers are going to have to decide how they're going to budget with that potential influx out there. And that is going to make this budget season a little bit more difficult than it has been in the past. And let's cast our memories back a whole year ago. That was going to be a tough budget fight, too, when all of a sudden the state found it had an extra $1.5 billion in its coffers. And that, you know, made everything a lot easier. Nobody expects that to happen again. There are going to be some tough decisions to be made. The other thing the governor talked about today, which connects back to the whole corruption things, was that he said he was looking for legislation that addressed energy policy and that made progress in fighting climate change. And he said explicitly that he would not sign a bill that was written by the energy companies. Mm-hmm. And if you've been playing along at home, you know that that was a shot at ComEd, which is has been named in some of these search warrants that have been served at the Capitol and in Chicago and the surrounding towns. So that's very much a part of it as well. And there's a bill that didn't make it through last time around that people are going to really push this time around, the Clean Energy Jobs Act. That's really designed to get Illinois to fully renewable sources of energy quicker than current policy calls for. Mm.
Heather Sharon on the line with me. She's the managing editor at the Daily Line at dailyline.net. Covers Chicago, Cook County, Springfield, all the places that make news, of course. Let's do this. Let's stay on Springfield for just a second, and then we'll move on, because I want to talk about some things that are local, including the scooters. And I've got you for the half hour. But, you know, when we think about Springfield, the one thing we heard yesterday, we're having a conversation about previewing, is that the budget hole, not unlike Chicago, balloons again. So coming up here, there's a huge hole that needs to be filled. And this Chicago has the same issue. And I know that Mayor Lightfoot needs to go down in this session and try to get money for herself and the city. So how, with that budget hole, with the state budget hole, it doesn't seem like there's just too many holes. Like how is everyone going to go down there and find all the money that they're looking for?
That's a really good question, which is why you're going to see so much emphasis on the graduated income tax fight. So essentially, the governor is going to say again this year when he introduces the budget what he said last year, which was basically, look, this is a bridge budget. We need to get to the graduated income tax to really sort of address this structural imbalance. Until we get that passed, it's simply not feasible. And he said much the same today, that the state's fiscal problems are so deep that without this sort of structural big reform, it's going to be nearly impossible, he says, to address. Now, of course, it's in his best interest to say, look, it's an emergency. We got to do this. This, you know, you can't vote no against this. But he's running into some really stiff headwinds from the Republicans in Illinois who are united in opposition to this and who will point to all of those corruption investigations and say, why on earth would we as voters vote to give Springfield politicians more of our money when we have seen clear and convincing evidence that they are not being good stewards of the public trust? That doesn't make, you know, right. The Republicans are going to say that doesn't make any sense. And that is going to complicate the governor's push to get that passed. In a couple of months. Yeah.
Heather Cherone, the managing editor at The Daily Line, joins us here on Wednesdays. We're talking about what happened with the state of the state today in Springfield. We come back, let's talk about some local stories, including three stories I think that are interesting. The electric scooters coming back, it's interesting. The Obama Center fight, which you heard the mayor today say that the last administration, the Emanuel administration, just let the Obama folks have whatever they wanted. It was a culture of whatever you want. We'll talk about if that is hindering the project now. And then also, we talked a little bit about Facebook and facial recognition and how we're all going to get a couple hundred bucks back thanks to a settlement. But the police are using similar stuff in a database, and they've been told not to use it, and looks like they're not going to. But we'll talk to Heather about what that means for law enforcement and whether or not they'll continue to do facial recognition on their own. It's Heather Cherone. It's Justin Kaufman. It's 720 WGN. Stay with us. Heather Cherone with us. Daily Line covers all things Chicago, Springfield, Cook County. And we're talking about some of the things that happened today, including the state of the state. But let's move on to some of the things that happened in Chicago. The electric scooters program. This is a program that we thought was a one-off. I read that it wasn't successful, but we're bringing it back for another summer.
We are, at least another pilot, and I gotta say, I really regret not putting this headline on the story, Return of the Scooters Electric Boogaloo. I missed that
option. Missed that opportunity.
Really do that. So essentially, the first pilot had good things and it had bad things, and there wasn't enough for the city to decide whether they should bring it back full-time or allow scooters in certain parts of the city on a permanent basis, or at least in the warmer months, because nobody wants to be on a scooter in weather like this. But a lot of the concerns had to do with whether it was actually supplementing public transportation, if it was reducing ride-hailing vehicles, which is something that Mayor Lori Lightfoot is very committed to, and it wasn't clear whether it was equitable. The pilot program took place on the west and the northwest side, but most of the trips were along the blue line in neighborhoods like Logan Square, and it's not really clear if scooters would be successful elsewhere in the city. So there's more work to do, and it's not clear exactly what the pilot program will look like again this summer, whether it will be 10 companies like it was the first time around, or whether more companies will be allowed to participate, and what part of town it will be. So there's a lot of things we don't know, but scooter advocates were certainly hoping that the city was going to embrace these scooters, and it was going to be something that would revolutionize Chicago public transportation.
Well, and it's done in other cities, mostly warm weather cities. California does this, and there are others that do it as well. So it's not foreign in the way that people know how it works. Just the question is, does it work in Chicago? It's a big city, and it's tough to get from neighborhood to neighborhood, as was the one time that I decided, you know what, I'll take this from the West Loop to West Town, and found myself, you know, cruising on Ashland at rush hours. Like, this is probably not the safest thing in the world.
You're saying you're lucky to still be alive after your interactions with the scooters. And I think that's the problem. And there's really a question of whether this is an amenity, whether this is something that people would like to have, or whether it's an actual transportation solution to the problems that Chicago is facing in all sorts of neighborhoods. And really the big question is, would these scooters make sense in a neighborhood like Lakeview or downtown or along the riverfront? And at least for right now, I would say that's unlikely, because if there were these many problems and just mixed results in this limited area with this limited amount of scooters, I think we're probably pretty far away from the city saying, we live in a grand scooter-friendly city.
I want to backtrack just a second, because I had a couple of texts that came in about what we were talking about in Springfield. And I'll let Kathy be the spokesperson for three or four of the texts that came in. When pertaining to the Sandoval bribe, is something going to happen to the company that offered Sandoval the bribe? Is there something on the hook for the red light camera industry or whoever it was? I mean, do we know if they will be punished as well for the bribe?
We don't know, and we reached out to Safe Speed yesterday when Martin Sandoval named them during the hearing, although he sort of corrected himself and referred to them as Company A, which is how they're referred to in the court filings. But it is certainly illegal to bribe legislators, and the company said that if there was a bribe offered, it was done without the company's knowledge policy, and they would never do that. So if there were charges to be filed against the company, the government would have to prove that this was company policy and that everybody, you know, was in the loop about the quid pro quo, to bring over a phrase much in use.
So, Kathy, what that means is rogue agent, right? That's the idea. That's what they're going to say, rogue. All right, so back to Chicago. This the facial recognition story tonight that's breaking has to do with Facebook. A settlement that came out says that Facebook owes hundreds of dollars to every Illinois account based on using facial tagging tool or technology. But in Chicago, the CPD uses facial recognition tools. The privacy advocacy groups are crying foul because they're like, this is a really dumb idea. You're going to get sued. Stop doing it. Where are we?
We're basically with people realizing that the Chicago Police Department is using this technology, which was really exposed in a New York Times report. It's called Clearview AI, and essentially what it does is that it scrapes photos from Facebook and Twitter and all over the internet and allows the police department to access all of those photos and then to use that facial recognition software to figure out where else you have been. So, for example, if they think that perhaps I robbed a liquor store, they could try to find, they could use this to input my picture into the system, and that it would essentially search all of the pictures of me on the internet and compare it to the videotape they have of the crime in progress. And then they could say, aha, we have a match, and so they could take that to a judge and go. Now, the Sun-Times reported that this technology had not been used yet in a case that had gone all the way through the court system. So it's very much an open question whether Illinois courts would rely on this evidence. But what I found interesting was that this is a brand new contract inked just this month, apparently, and it was not something that had to go through the city council to get alderman approval. And I would be shocked. I've got my crystal ball out here, so I'm in dangerous territory. But this seems like something aldermen would be interested in holding hearings about, because I know I was shocked, and I imagine that other people were shocked as well. And all credit to the Sun-Times for breaking the story.
Yeah, and I have to say, even tonight, that Facebook is you know, pay out $500 million. And that means that we're all going to get some cash for them, essentially a judge saying that they broke our, or, you know, sort of, well, I don't know what you call it, used our data without our permission.
Right.
I wonder if aldermen feel that way about this, meaning there will be a lawsuit and lawsuit will go out. A judge will say, yeah, you can't do that. That's a $500 million thing. And it's the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department that is paying out the taxpayers because they used this tool that they didn't properly vet.
That's always a question, especially for a police department that is under a federal consent decree that has been sort of told by the Department of Justice, hey, you need to change the way how you police to comply with the Constitution. This opens up a lot of questions, and the Sun-Times spoke to the ACLU, which has been a very, you know, vigorous critic of the department, saying that this is unacceptable on every level.
Heather Sharone, my guest, managing editor over at the Daily Line, joins us on Wednesday. We're talking a lot of topics tonight. And her last one, the Obama Center. We can't even call it the library anymore, but the Obama Center is starting to heat up because there are some questions about affordable housing around the area, to obviously continuing questions about its relationship with the neighborhood. But Mayor Lightfoot today saying that they really need to take a look at this, and took a shot at the Emanuel administration, saying, you know, it used to be a relationship, or the relationship the administration had with the Obama Center was do whatever you want. And I wonder, I mean, you think about all the players and the names they're associated. Obviously, there are friendships there and relationships. But is that going to be a problem moving forward? Does the mayor support the Obama Center? And is there a chance that a new administration would look at the relationship differently?
Well, Well, there's always the possibility, but the mayor has been very clear that she sees the Obama Center as a boon for Jackson Park, a boon for the South Side, a boon for Chicago as a whole. It's really a jewel in Chicago's crown. However, there are still a lot of issues about the Obama Center that it's not clear on how it's going to be resolved. One is affordable housing. There is a proposal that could be turned into an ordinance later this month or later next month that would sort of try to protect the residents who live around the center from being displaced by increasing affordable housing requirements. It's not clear if that's going to be sufficient for the local alderman, Jeanette Taylor, and the coalition that have been working on this really for years. The other issue is that Jackson Park is a federally protected national landmark. So the federal government has to sign off on these plans before the first shovel of dirt can be moved. And they have yet to do that. And in fact, they found that the center will have an adverse impact not only on the park itself, but also the boulevards that surround the park. And the boulevards are also a protected national landmark. So the Obama people are going to have to come back with revised plans to sort of address that impact in some way. The city will get a chance to review those plans and weigh in on them. And then ultimately, the federal government will have to sign off on them. That could potentially mean that it would have to go back to the city council. And if that were to happen, then you're sort of back at ground zero or square one, so to speak, because then you can have aldermen and would get a chance to say, well, I'm not going to vote for this unless there's some sort of protection for, you know, these residents who have lived in these neighborhoods and that are now sort of finding themselves being priced out of the neighborhood because you've got sort of, you know, a huge amount of real estate speculation because everybody thinks this is going to be the next hot Chicago mm-hmm. neighborhood. So, you know, if you talk to the Obama Foundation people, they say, oh, it's a done deal. We're fine. We're moving ahead. But whenever you get a federal review process involved, you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know what the ultimate decision is going to be. And, you know, for at least the next year or so, it's the Trump administration, at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, the president has certainly made it clear that he is not afraid to take a shot at his predecessor, something he apparently shares with Mayor Lightfoot.
That's a great way to wrap it up. That's why I laugh. Everyone has questioned many of the current administration's moves to essentially undo the Obama legacy. This is literally the Obama legacy. It's the Obama library.
Correct.
If they had a way to stop it, I feel like they would. Heather Sharone joins us every Wednesday night to talk about Chicago, Cook County, Springfield politics, and tonight was no different. She's the managing editor at Daily Line, which you can find their newsletter, which is awesome. Gets in your inbox in the morning, and all their stuff at dailyline.net. Heather, thanks so much.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Justin.